Just as I was in receiving, seeking from judgment to flee, now there is no condemnation. This is the Savior for me. Savior of sinners, Savior of sinners like me. Shedding his blood for my ransom, this is the Savior for me. Loved with a love that's unchanging, blessed with a blessing so free, how shall I tell out his praises? This is the Savior for me. Savior of sinners, Savior of sinners like me, shedding his blood for my ransom, this is the Savior for me.
The third line of verse 1 talks about, it says, long I was chained in sin's darkness. Tonight I want to talk a little bit about darkness. There's spiritual darkness in this world, there's physical darkness at night, and there's going to be darkness in eternity for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, I'm just thinking back when the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, was captive and slaves in the land of Egypt. And Moses was there at that time. And they were slaves, but God was going to use Moses to rescue them out of the land of Egypt. And God, about that time, God sent 10 plagues on the land of Egypt until Pharaoh would let the nation of Israel go out free to worship the Lord. Well, the 9th plague that they had there was darkness. And there was darkness in all the land of Egypt. And it was said it was darkness that could be felt. Not sure exactly what that means, that it was darkness that could be felt. But I believe there was pain in the darkness. And the Bible says that the angels were sent in the darkness to torment them. And the people were afraid in the darkness. Let's look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12, in verse 46, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. And the Lord Jesus says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. From this verse, we understand that you, as you sit here tonight, without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are in your sins. This verse says you are in darkness, spiritual darkness, without Christ. And the Lord Jesus comes, he's a light, he's love, he's light, and he wants you to be part of his family in heaven. But you can't be part of his family unless the light shines in your soul. And you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and have the light of life within you. And so, in order for that to happen, we need to take care of the question of our sins. Our sins need to be taken away so that the Lord Jesus can then come into our life. Well, in the lake of fire, there will also be darkness, darkness that can be felt. And let's look in Revelation chapter 16. And this will talk a little bit about darkness that can be felt. And Revelation chapter 16 and verse 10 says, in the darkness, and we need to see here that in the darkness of God's wrath, there is pain. And so in verse 10 it says, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. Pain is not something that we enjoy. Pain is, you go to the doctor and he says, how much pain do you have? Tell me on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad is your pain? And I remember one time I had a number 10 pain. I was working with some equipment and I got stuck between two pieces of equipment and my foot was stuck there and I couldn't get out. And the two pieces of equipment were trying to move towards each other and crushing my foot, and it hurt. And I couldn't get out. And I was screaming. And I was embarrassed because I couldn't not scream. I just continued to scream and I tried to stop. And it just, the screams just kept coming out. I couldn't stop screaming in time to even yell for help. And so about 15 minutes later, the neighbor came over and he was able to help. But I was there for 15 minutes of torment, alone, screaming, alone. Psalm 78, verse 49. Psalm 78, verse 49. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation, and trouble by sending evil angels among them. I believe this might be a reference to the darkness, because if you go through this chapter, it's talking about all the plagues in the land of Egypt. And I believe this might be a reference to the plague of darkness that could be felt in the land of Egypt. And the people were suffering there in the terror of the darkness when the angels of God were sent in there to trouble the people in the darkness. Matthew 22. There's many examples of darkness in the scriptures, and we'll look at a few of them. Matthew 22. And this is a story of a man in a wedding garment and the results of him not having on a wedding garment. He was invited to the wedding, but he was not dressed appropriately. And in verse 12, the master of the ceremonies, he says, he came and saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you reject Jesus Christ tonight as your Lord and your Savior, and you will find yourself at some future time when you stand before God and he sends you into a lost eternity and you're cast into outer darkness, you, the sinner, will have no excuse as you are thrown into the darkness of hell. You will have nothing to say. You will have no arguments. You'll have no defense. The sinner is guilty, and the justice of God will be glorified as the sinner is cast into the darkness of hell, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. God didn't prepare hell or the lake of fire for you. He loves you, and that's why we have the gospel meeting. That's why the Lord Jesus came down into this world, because he knew there were so many sinners. Everyone was a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Lord Jesus knew that. And so he came down into this world so there could be a remedy for your sin. And the Lord Jesus himself is that remedy for sin. And let's look at Luke chapter 8. And we'll find out what 2,000 demons said to Jesus. Luke chapter 8. There's a man named Legion, and his name was Legion because he had a legion of devils inside of him. And these demons, these devils, they were controlling this man. They possessed him. And in verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. You see, the demons know that the lake of fire is a place of physical torment and physical pain and emotional terror. And they tremble in fear. And the demons, they don't want to go to hell. They don't want to go to the lake of fire. They don't have a choice. They are going because of their way they treated Jesus. was the way they treated God. But you have a choice. You don't have to go to hell. You have a choice, and your choice is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus has prepared a place for you in heaven, and He wants you there with Him. And tonight, He's offering you that place in the Father's house with the Lord Jesus. He's offering you freedom from your sin, to have your sins washed away. He's offering you eternal life tonight. Well, the demons don't want to go to hell. Let's look in Luke chapter 16, verse 23. This is a man. He was a rich man. And there was another man called Lazarus. And the rich man had many good things in his life. But Lazarus had none. He was a beggar. And when they both died, the rich man, he had no faith in God. And he went to hell. And in hell, let's read verse 23. And in hell, this was not the lake of fire yet, but he was still in hell. And he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that may he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. We've already expressed the fact that in hell it's darkness. It's outer darkness. There's pain in there. And there's also flames. And this man, he wasn't even in the lake of fire yet, but he was tormented in the flame. And so from these verses, we understand that there will be no relief from the suffering and the torment of hell. After the sinner dies, he goes directly into torment. That's what you have to look forward to. Yeah, you may reject Jesus tonight. You might have a wonderful time when you go out and do whatever you do in your own life. But that's only going to last for a short time. That's only going to last. You don't know when your death date is. It's only going to last until the end of your life, or until the Lord Jesus comes. And if you're still living at the end, you will be sent to a lost eternity in hell. But in James chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 19. This verse is also speaking about eternity without God. And it's also back of speaking about the demons, the devils. Verse 19, James 2. You believe that there is one God. You do well. The devils also believe and tremble. Well, maybe you do believe that there is a God. Maybe you even believe that you're a sinner and you're lost in your sins, but you have not yet put your trust in the Lord Jesus. But it is good that you believe that there is one true God. But do you tremble? Do you tremble? Are you ready to repent? Are you ready to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe that you are a sinner? Do you believe that you deserve to suffer in hell because of your sin? Do you believe that Jesus is God and that Jesus died as your substitute to take your punishment for sin? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You know, the Lord Jesus came into this world to save sin, to save you. He came to save me, and thank God He has saved me. Lord Jesus came to save you. And in order to do that, He had to suffer. And He suffered anguish and pain and terror as He experienced the wrath of God on the cross for you. He died for you as your substitute. He shed His blood for you to wash your sins away. And Jesus suffered so much as he endured the cross and the shame and the punishment of sin against himself. He did no wrong. He had no sin. He did no sin. He didn't even think sin. He was the perfect, holy Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. But yet he was willing to go to the cross and have my sin put on him. And he would suffer there as if he were the guilty one. He suffered so much shame for you. And he did this. The Lord Jesus was willing to suffer in this way because he loves you. The Bible says that the Son of God loved me. That's the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus loves you. He doesn't want you to go to the lake of fire. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, and these verses describe a little bit of what the Lord Jesus had to suffer while he was there on the cross during 3 hours of darkness. Because it was during those 3 hours of darkness that God had put our sin on Jesus, and the wrath and anger of a holy God fell on Jesus Christ during those 3 hours of darkness. Isaiah 53, we'll start at verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord Jesus was, as we said, he was innocent. He had no sin. But my iniquity, all our sins and our iniquities were laid on him. And then he suffered. Suffered so much. We can't even imagine what it was like. It just says here, he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. That doesn't explain the fullness of the wrath and the anger of God that fell on Jesus for me. Many years ago, I've told this story before, but many years ago there was a man named Placidus and his wife and his two sons. And they were Christians. And they were arrested because of their faith in Christ, because they were Christians. And they were put into the Roman Colosseum at that time. And they put them in there with the wild beasts. And they put the Christians in there, and the wild beasts would come in and eat the people and tear them to pieces. And so that's what happened to Placidus and his family. They were put into the Roman Colosseum. And when the wild beasts refused to tear them to pieces and to eat the family, they took the family out of there. And they had a brazen bull, a big brazen bull. It was hollow inside. And they put the family inside that hollow brazen bull. Then they shut the door and locked the door. And then they lit a big fire underneath. And they got it very hot. And slowly that brazen bull got hotter and hotter. And the family that was inside started to get hot and started to burn. And it became intense. And they started to scream. And the screaming of the family as they were in their screaming pain, the noise of the screaming went out through the hollow head of the bull and out to the audience in this Colosseum. And it sounded as if the raging bull were alive, while the Christian family was roasted to death. And all the people cheered. Can you imagine the look of pain on the faces of that family? As the brazen bull got hotter and hotter, and their screaming pain tortured their faces. Let's go to Isaiah 52. It's screaming pain is written on the faces of those who suffer. Isaiah 52, verse 14. Speaking about the Lord Jesus. As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. The appearance of Jesus, his face, his appearance, it was marred more than any man's as he endured the wrath of God against sin. God did not want man to look on his Son, Jesus Christ, as he endured the wrath of God in the punishment for our sins. It was too terrible to look at. And so there it was darkness, 3 hours of darkness. And besides that, man would never be able to look unto the righteousness of God and still live. If they looked at the righteousness of God, they would die too, as the righteousness of God punished Jesus for our sins. Well, and so for 3 hours, while Jesus suffered for our sins, God turned off the light of the sun, and darkness covered all the land. The Lord Jesus endured the darkness. And during that time, our sin was put on Jesus, and God punished Jesus for our sins. And as we said, all was in darkness. So we don't know exactly what happened during those 3 hours, during that time of suffering. But out of the darkness, Jesus cried. And he cried with a loud voice. He says, my God, why? Why hast thou forsaken me? Shortly after that, Jesus commended his spirit to the Father. And he died. A soldier was standing there. He saw that Jesus had died. But his hatred had not yet been complete. And so he took his spear, and in hatred he threw it into the side of the Lord Jesus. That act of hatred brought forth the blood that flowed from the side of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus, his blood was shed. And it's that precious blood of Jesus that can wash your sins away tonight. That precious blood of Jesus was evidence that he had died. And he was punished for our sins. Over all the land there was darkness that could be felt. The Lord Jesus felt all the anguish and the pain in that darkness. If Jesus suffered so much that he was willing and he loved you so much, that he was willing to suffer that much for you, so that you could go to heaven to be with him. If he suffered that much, he is not going to let you go. He's not going to let you get away from him. Nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God. Not sin. I'm now talking to a person who has believed on the Lord Jesus. If you believe in the Lord Jesus, he will give you eternal life. You are the child of God the Father. You belong to the Lord Jesus. And his love is what is reaching out to you tonight to save you. And nothing will separate you from his love when you are saved. Not your sin. Not Satan, not your own selfishness. Nothing can get you out of the hands of Jesus. And nothing can get you out of the hands of the Father. And so you are safe forever. That's what is offered to the believer. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, this wonderful love, this wonderful future is offered to you tonight. But how can you have your sin removed? Well, let's look at a verse in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh, the love of God is so great. The love of the Lord Jesus was willing to come into this world to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is kind of like a covering. It takes away our sins. And Jesus, the Son of God, is the remover of sins. He's the propitiation for our sins. I'll tell you a little story. We had a guest some time ago. Some guests. And one of the children found a patch of berries, big berries. And they took them and they started writing on the white wall of the house. In graffiti here and there, and many places. And so the berry stains on the wall. And when the father found out he had done that, he took the boy. And they got some soap and some water and some chemicals. And they scrub. And they couldn't get the berry stain off. It would not come off. That is how we are with our sins. We can work hard to be good. We can be kind to other people. We can give our money to charity. We can do so many things, trying to make our good works outweigh our bad so that we'll have a chance to get into heaven. But there's nothing good that we can do to get rid of our sin. Just like that boy scrubbing on the berry stain with the soap and water. It won't come off. And that is why God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to be the substitute, to die for us sinners. And this, when the Lord Jesus died, this allows God to remove the sin that makes it impossible for us to have fellowship with God. That's the reason God put you in here, so he can have fellowship with you. He wants you to be his friend. But because of our sin, we can't have that fellowship. And so Jesus had to come and die. Well, when that boy could not remove the berry stain off the white wall, we went and got a bottle of bleach, some spray cleaner, and we sprayed it on the stain. It dissolved. It disappeared, and the wall was white again. Why, that's just like the blood of Jesus Christ. We read that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. How do you get the blood to be applied to you so you can be saved? Well, there's two points of responsibility for you so that you can receive eternal life and so that you're free to go to heaven. Those two things are repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll find that in Acts chapter 20, verse 21. Now, repentance means that you adjust your thinking to turn away from your own purpose and to turn away from your own will and to turn away from your desire to sin. And you submit yourself to the will of God. That's repentance. Now, faith towards the Lord Jesus means to believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Believe that you are a sinner who deserves sin, who deserves death and judgment in the lake of fire. And believe that Jesus endured the judgment of God and that he was punished as your substitute for your sins. Believe that Jesus died. Believe that his blood was shed to wash away your sin. Believe means to put your trust, to trust that Jesus did all the work to save you from your sin. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus like this, you'll be saved. It's that easy. Believe and trust. Maybe you are convicted. Maybe you're sorry for your sins. Maybe you want peace in your life, in your heart. You want the Lord Jesus to be a part of your life. If you haven't understood what's been taught tonight, please come and talk to me after the meeting. I'll be here this afternoon. I'll be here tomorrow. But don't put it off. Don't wait any longer to experience the peace and the joy of having eternal life. Why don't we sing number 13? The Lord Jesus suffered so much. He had a lot of sorrow in his life. But he is our Savior. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior.
Man of sorrows, what a name.
For the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. We give thanks that there's hope for anyone here who is a sinner, who needs to be saved. Lord Jesus, we give thanks, Lord Jesus, that you have gone to the cross, that you've taken the punishment, endured the wrath and anger of a holy God against sin, so that we could go free. Oh, we give thanks for that love, Lord Jesus, and we just ask that that love would draw our hearts to give thee worship and glory and honor and praise. We give thanks, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.